Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out. St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
It's Wednesday. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the show. If you've been listening to KMOX all morning and are sticking around, well, we appreciate you for not going away. Because that would have made Amy very sad.
Well, it would hurt my feelings.
Of course.
I mean, if someone's like, I'm never listening to KMOX again because of that Amy, Shay.
Stop doing that. We're not doing 1930s gangster. And they did. And as a texter told us the other day, they didn't all sound like that.
Well, name someone in the 1930s who didn't sound like that, Shay.
Let me get back to you. I'll get back to you.
But this is good stuff. We're so glad you're here because...
Well, I'll tell you in a minute. We'll tell you, but don't give away the surprise.
I didn't know if we were going to go to the... No, it's time.
Oh, yeah, let's do that now.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
As Amy was about to say, go ahead, do it. Do the thing.
It's National Radio Day.
That's right. Hell yes. Hell yes. It is National Radio Day, so we're going to take a moment to celebrate us and how great we are, and you're just going to be along for the ride.
Is it us or, like, the people around us? When I celebrate National Radio Day, I don't include myself in,
In
the basket.
You're in it.
It's a mistake.
It's not a mistake.
It is.
Thank you so much for being here. We're happy you're here,
we
Amy.
Are. Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Thank you.
You want to tell people about the St. Charles thing?
Also, the people have spoken.
They did.
And it was a rollicking meeting in St. Charles where the residents of St. Charles let their voices be heard at last night's council meeting. The data center is not going to happen.
We got some audio from that, too. It's pretty good. Cardinals have already won the series against the Marlins in Miami. They are going to play again tonight. They finish it up 5:40. And then they've got the Tampa Bay Rays on the road tomorrow. So it's a nice little Florida trip for the Cardinals. As Amy mentioned, National Radio Day is happening. We're going to talk to Michael Calhoun from the KMOX newsroom at 11 o'clock. And Michael has covered a lot. You know, he covered Ferguson. He's been, how long has he been here now? 15 years almost?
It's weird because...
Feels like he's been here forever.
Two people especially, Michael Calhoun and Tom Ackerman, started so young and have such an authoritative voice on the radio that I feel like they should each be 60 years old. But they're not. Tom Ackerman has been at KMOX for over half of his life.
It's nuts.
Over half of his life. And Michael Calhoun, when people see him or meet him, I think they're shocked by how young he is because he started when he was 12, I think.
So
he was in Ferguson in a bulletproof vest when he was 12.
I'll tell you, he was actually illegal when he was here. Way too young to be working.
Mr. Hyland didn't care about child labor laws.
So Michael Calhoun's going to come in and talk to us about, you know, this place. And this has been, you know, we're going to start within the next couple of months really rolling out our 100-year birthday or anniversary, however you want to call it, celebration. Because on December 24th of 1925, KMOX went on the air. And this station, I would say, has been the most important radio station in the city for, you know, historically. It just, I know there are other, this may not be the only one you listen to. Maybe you're just getting here for the first time. Maybe you only listen to Cardinals baseball. But I think it's really hard to argue that this station has meant more to this city historically than any other station has.
Oh gosh, I don't think there is an argument against
it. It really isn't even close.
It's a boring conversation at this point. But I will say
it's like Jordan versus LeBron because clearly it's Michael. Anyway, well, go ahead.
I mean, I think that's too close.
Okay,
that's closer than this. Yeah. But Ronj, I don't know if you were a radio nerd growing up, but I was, and I have loved talk radio. I got it from my dad because my dad had this, 3-inch by 2-inch portable radio that you could like clip on your shorts.
Yeah, those were the best.
And he would go on a run, and you would get bad service or good service, right? Depending on where you were. And so I had one of those radios, and I mean, 12, 13, 14 years old. Well, first of all, I loved listening to the Blues games on the radio because remember, I didn't have cable. So I listened to most of the Blues games on radio, and I had a black boombox with the cassette player on top.
Oh.
And that's what I would listen to. And then I'm not going to lie, growing up as a teenager, I listened, yes, to KMOX, but I listened to NPR. I listened to 550. I listened to 590. I listened to everything. I constantly listened to radio. That's why it's so weird to me that I'm here, because I was a fan. I feel more affinity toward all of our listeners than I do to any other host, because I feel like it's an accident that I'm here, because I just love talk radio. And I feel like talk radio is so much more intimate than television. You get to know the people. Like when I'm in the car driving, it's me and Michael Calhoun. And Michael Calhoun is telling me how to get home safely. Or it's me and Tom Ackerman talking about the Cardinals, like growing up listening to the Cardinals. I remember my first starstruck experience was coming in after I'd written my book and I was here as a guest, and I was on sports on a Sunday morning, and Tom Ackerman was sitting in Studio B with a cup of coffee and a paper newspaper at the sports section.
Oh.
And I was just absolutely starstruck. I will also say this, I listened to you on your other station.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I knew you before I did.
Was that back when it was good?
Back when it was good. I did. I listened to you. The embarrassing thing. When it was you and Randy Carricker.
Yeah, my guy.
And like Brad Thompson, who's on the TV now for the Cardinals. I acted like I knew you guys. I was a dork. I remember walking up to Brad Thompson and talking to him like I knew him. And I realized he doesn't know who
he
I
doesn't
am.
Know who you are.
But I felt like I knew you guys. Yeah. I love radio.
Yeah. I was one of those that I was kind of like you. I don't remember, who was first playing KMOX in the car other than Cardinals games. Like we always had Cardinals games on. Sometimes we listened in the house when I was growing up. But I did become fascinated with talk radio and then sports talk radio. I was always fascinated with baseball broadcasts. Just because of the, the pace of it and the feel of it and the comfort of it. It does feel like even in the summer when it's really hot, it feels like an additional blanket. It just, there's something about being in the backyard with the radio on, listening to baseball while it's dusk. I love that. I loved it growing up. And then interning here, having the opportunity to do that was a very big deal for me. So now, coming back and working here for the last couple of years, it's even better. I didn't know that this would happen, and now here we are. And sorry to those of you who have to listen to this.
Well,
but I'm not leaving until they tell me I have to leave.
Which could be any day.
It could. Steve might walk in here and start pulling microphones off the cords.
Yeah, every time I see Steve through the glass, I realize, well, this is it. We've done it now.
He's about to come in here.
Here's what I need to do. I need to find out my severance package. I know this is National Radio Day, but this is a good day to remind yourself that in the words of Tom Timmerman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, we're all day-to-day.
Yeah, of course.
He covers sports. He asks the coach, how's this guy? How's that guy? Oh, he's day-to-day. Yeah. Aren't we all day-to-day?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty common way of looking at life, and I think we are. A few texters, Harambe, for example, says... happy Radio Day, Chris and Amy. And I feel like I needed to read his text because yesterday he sent a few and I don't think I read any of them. We had so much going on, man. We can't We can't get to all of them. Another message says, as a 1930s gangster, I am offended by this characterization, saying. So, this person who texts in from a 314, it's also National Cleavage Day, not even lying about it.
Really?
Well, I looked it up.
Is it?
It does not appear to be National Cleavage Day. No. It from what I gather, National Cleavage Day happens in either March or April. So we've missed it. Today is National Soft Ice Cream Day. And it's International Orangutan Day. What do you think of that?
Okay, first of all, this is a lot of days to process. Mm-hmm. What if National Cleavage Day is not about boobies, but it's about tearing asunder, tearing apart? Because cleavage is splitting as well.
I don't think there's a national day for division. Come on.
Why not?
We're trying to be undivided, aren't we? You know, everything is so divided now.
Is
Amy,
that why
did
they
you
call it
that?
Cleavage? Because you lift and separate?
Okay.
Do you think? And honestly, most cleavage is not separated. It's smushed. That's the whole point of cleavage.
It's being smushed together?
Yes. That's how you get the most cleavage, is smushing.
So it's not really a crevasse. It's more like a...
crack.
It's
a line, but it's you know what it is? It's a seam. Anyway, this is very confusing now of why it's called cleavage, when really the booby cleavage is smushing, but the word cleavage means to separate or divide.
But if you want to celebrate, I think you can celebrate Cleavage Day whenever you want. Every day can be National Cleavage Day to you. It's up to you.
And for some people, it is.
It is up to you.
What was the other day you said? The last one?
Which one?
The last
day. Oh, Orangutan Day.
Was Harambe a gorilla?
Harambe was a gorilla.
Okay.
Emphasis on the was.
Yeah. He is no more. He is...
That's sad.
Yeah, well, they had to shoot him. So... Please join the show today, 314-436-7900 to call and text. Voice messages, Odyssey app. You can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Yeah. Those are great ways to see us. A text message says, I have never appreciated talk radio more than since I have lost my sight back in 2020, and you guys are great.
Aww.
Chris just needs to open up about his wife and kids. I don't have a wife and kids that you know of.
Listen.
Yes.
I agree with the texter because you know, it's hurtful. I think there's a level of vulnerability in radio because we talk about our lives. I share stuff that I don't even remember sharing. It's scary.
Yeah.
And you have the audacity to go visit your wife and kids every weekend in Chicago and not tell us anything about it. It's hurtful.
I'm so sorry.
You feel like a fraud.
I feel fine. This text message here as we go to break. The ability to text into shows makes it even more fun. Love your show, but not in a creepy way. I don't care if you're creepy or not. We love the creeps. Creeps make radio great.
I think we got a text from our boss saying this might be the end of radio.
Well, we did. We did.
We brought that. We did what 100 years of people on KMOX couldn't do. We brought the sucker down.
I'll tell you what, though. I don't know if I trust Steve's judgment.
Because he put us on the air. We're the product of his imagination.
This is his fault. He's going to complain about it. You did this. What are you talking about, man? Yeah. You put us here.
You can't hate your own creation.
Right. It's like hating your own children. You're not allowed to. Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
On the show today, we've got Dr. Edward Faser, who is the new president of St. Louis University. He'll be joining us at 10 o'clock. Looking forward to speaking with him. John Rooney on the Cardinals at 10:30. We've got a Red Cross blood drive that is happening tomorrow. We want you to know about, and Sharon Watson, the regional comms director of the American Red Cross, will be joining us. As we said, Michael Calhoun will be at 11. And then Stephen Richer, who was the Maricopa County, Arizona recorder. And, you know, took a lot of heat during the last election. He was primaried out as a Republican. He was primaried out because of the whole election integrity thing and the doubt about how, you know, much integrity there is in elections. Anyway, we're talking to him about mail-in voting and the Dominion voting machines and all of that stuff. That's coming up at 11:30 today. But as we mentioned, it is National Radio Day. And somebody had texted in and said that it's also National Cleavage Day, which is in doubt.
We can't find confirmation. We also don't know what kind of cleavage. It could be tearing asunder.
Yeah, and this message here says, wouldn't National Division Day scare math-challenged Chris?
Well, it's not that kind of division. It's not long division. Yeah, it's just dividing, like, in pieces.
Yeah.
Because cleave is a weird word, because cleave means to tear asunder, but cleave also means to bring together.
Yeah.
So maybe cleavage is the perfect word for the boobies.
We didn't have division tests. We had times tables tests, and those were the ones I was bad at. So anyway, with it being cleavage day, apparently, this message says tomorrow is National My Eyes Are Up Here, Mister Day. It could be. So remember we talked about the billboard yesterday outside of Breeze, Illinois, which is the it's about 50-60 minutes away from St. Louis East, just directly straight east from here. And the Proud Boys had, or a faction of the Proud Boys, we don't really know exactly who affiliated with them, put up a billboard basically telling people to join, left a phone number, left an email address. It had the phrase "stand back and stand by." That's what President Trump had tweeted out while the January 6th insurrection thing was going on a few years ago. So a lot of people in the community came out in protest of it. And, you know, there was like 1,000 people or something that came out to talk about it, which I'm surprised that so many people came out for that. It's interesting, and they have taken it down.
Yeah.
So the story is on KMOX.com. You know, we have covered it here, but that billboard has come down after the Lamar Advertising Collinsville office said they were going to take it down, and they did.
It was also near Breeze Central High School, it's right by the high school. And there was something of a slapdash nature to it that I don't know if it was just a guy, because it didn't have a website.
Yeah.
It had the billboard and then a local number, which there's a local chapter. I don't know. I didn't want to search the Proud Boys, their website. If you Google Proud Boys website, the first AI answer or Google search that comes up is that the server, the host of their website, no longer hosts them. I'm sure they're able to find somewhere online. But yeah, and so I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive. I would like to think it's some rando, who just put that up there versus a quote unquote growing movement.
Yes.
I don't think that's it. The biggest thing is, well, here's what we know. The billboard went up and 1,000 people showed up and said...
Let me correct that. 1,000 people came out to the data center thing, right?
Oh, sorry.
But it was 100, about 100 that came out for this thing, which is still a lot because Breeze isn't very big.
Isn't that big.
So you have that many people coming out from the area in protest of it, or to, you know, just sort of like a town hall meeting and people objecting to it. I mean, good on them.
And that's what I mean is, I think, yes, you can be disappointed that the billboard even went up. But I think what's important to focus on here is that more people said absolutely not.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Right? I mean, because there's always going to be bad characters, foul characters, vile points of view. And they're allowed to
display them
in our country. They're allowed to
legally
be... Yes.
They're allowed to.
They're allowed to. But it's good to have more people say absolutely not. It's why, like, being offensive or misogynist or racist, yeah, I guess you're allowed to. But it's good that there's a stigma to all of those things.
Sometimes some things deserve canceling. You know, I know this whole thing about cancel culture that was going on the last decade and people complaining about it. You know, every now and then, I think it's okay that we cancel some people or some things, is it not?
Well, I don't like using the phrase cancel because...
Some people deserve it.
Cancel is so specific to a certain movement, which I think did for a while kind of swing way too far, where it was almost a seek and destroy mentality, especially online. I don't like to call it canceling. I just like to call it...
Consequence?
Well, like certain, this idea of saying offensive things, whether it be about gender or race or whatever it may be, that goes back for decades. I like that there's like, yeah, there's a stigma. It's not cool to be prejudiced, right? That's just a stigma. That's why like some societal distaste is good.
I want to disagree with you, but I can't because there are... Legally speaking, you can't be arrested for having a vile opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
But it should also be that as a society collectively, we say, hey, you idiot, shut up. Because mm-hmm. that's not who we are here.
Right.
I think it's okay for us to, as a society, do a little self-policing.
Right. And I think, remember when the Nazis were on the overpass? They had like the Nazi flag and people called the cops. My first reaction was to call the cops. It was so shocking and so offensive to every moral and ethic that you have that like you wanted to call the cops and the cops said, well, it's a public overpass. You know, they're not doing anything wrong legally.
And you know who would defend them? The ACLU.
The ACLU. And they even my friend who... interviewed. I said, try it out. They didn't try out for it. They interviewed for the ACLU, said they warn you. Listen, mm-hmm. we have to defend some vile people. But the bigger message here is that 99.9% of the people driving around thought these guys are idiots. What a bunch of losers. And that's good because I will say there are some concerning things. We haven't talked about this, but going on in the UK and Germany with like arresting people who retweet offensive memes.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary what's going on in the UK. So I'm grateful for like the ACLU, but they do warn you, hey, we've got to defend some pretty vile people.
This texter coming from Breeze says, I think the folks behind the sign actually won because of the explosion of attention it brought. And I understand. I think that is a valid viewpoint.
It is. Said that yesterday.
But here's why I don't agree with it, because I think sometimes when there is a message like that a group is trying to get out, and collectively a town, a city, a country shouts those people down, I think that's a stronger message. And I think it does matter.
Yes. And I will say this with people who are openly racist or prejudiced. The term haters and losers is actually a perfect term for them. They are haters and they are losers.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
That's a great term for people who are prejudiced and vile.
So speaking of large showings at city or county council meetings, there was a big one in St. Yeah. Charles over that data center, which is right now dead. And it kind of seems like it might be perpetually dead. I don't know. We'll see if they try to bring it back at some point. But we'll talk more about that, what happened. Bring you some of the really good audio from yesterday, because people in the area came out and spoke. And some of them were spitting bars, too. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
This is wrong. The city has spoken. We don't want it and we don't need it.
Thank you, Ms. Travers. We have stymied this plague for now, but they will be back. And next time, their strategy will be more money and more convincing that this is good for us. To Mr. Maxwell and the Project Cumulus team, I say this. Return to your master and tell him that the people of St. Charles and the surrounding regions want nothing to do with this abomination that he would destroy our lives with.
Whoa, baby.
Right?
I was listening to that this morning on Total Information AM because I listen to the radio all the time. And I was... Tell your master, go back to your master and tell him we want nothing of this abomination.
You know what's amazing about that? So the proposed St. Charles data center, which was, they were supposed to begin on it, you know, fairly soon, yeah. But there was a lot that had to be done. It was called Project Cumulus, is dead, and it was already dead prior to this meeting, this town hall happening last night, and people still came out. It was almost like, and I appreciate this so much, that it was like, yeah, it's dead, but we're going to come out and like make sure it's dead.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure the body is cold before we let you pass. And I appreciate the people of the St. Yeah. Charles area for doing that.
I do too. This is the side of democracy that I really do love, and America and the people. I do think we lose sight of our communities when we're focused on like national news all the time, which matters. I get it. But I loved that the people came out and said, absolutely not to this data center. I kind of want to do that for a cell phone tower by my house. But anyway, that's a different story. Like, what do we do to knock it down?
Don't screw with my reception.
I know. I need to knock that cell phone tower down. But I mean, the people came out and there was so much opacity around this data center. No transparency. Certain people had signed non-disclosure agreements. So even if there were those in the St. Charles local government who knew more about this data center, they couldn't say anything. You didn't even know what company it was. It was a Fortune 500 company. We know that.
Yeah.
But it's cloaked in secrecy. Now, you and I were talking about this yesterday, and you said it's not completely unusual to have a level of secrecy around a big movement like this.
From what I understand, not an expert in this area, but from what I gathered, it's not unusual for a company that is behind a big project like this. Doesn't have to be a data center. It can be anything that is large scale and will affect a community, for that to not necessarily be known until much later in the process for multiple reasons. One of them is they just don't want to receive threats from people. There's a competitive advantage to them not revealing right away of who's going to do it. So there are legitimate reasons that they don't. It's not always nefarious.
Yeah.
So that's my understanding. Now, however, I think the first thing is the responsibility to the people who live in the area. So I don't care about your competitive advantage. I don't care about whatever threats you might get. Mm-hmm. I mean, you shouldn't threaten people, but I don't really care about any of that, any vitriol that might come your way as a company for proposing a center like this, because the number one thing that matters is the people who live there. So the community comes first, not your company, not any of this stuff. And I know there are benefits to data centers. You know, there are job opportunities and property values and mm-hmm. tax revenues can go up. You know, there could be a business ecosystem that develops around the data center because it's there. So there are bonuses to having them, but there are a lot of concerns about it. Environmental concerns, water concerns.
They were concerned about the water.
And that's a huge one. The pollution of the water. And I've seen stories where there's a data center mm-hmm. in a very similar kind of area. I forgot what part of the country, might have been Pennsylvania. And since they built the center, because the center needs all that water to cool the equipment inside, that the water pressure that the people are getting that live around it, they're getting hardly any water for themselves because of it.
The aquifer where this proposed data center is, it's perhaps the most vulnerable type of aquifer on the planet. It is currently contaminated. I know all of you folks know very well about that. It's got vinyl chloride in it.
Will this project, the data center, create alterations to the existing water table that could cause movement of the existing contaminated water? We know there's areas of existing contamination, and if you change the water table, movements will occur.
So again, they're talking about contaminated water, and St. Charles has dealt with issues with water contamination. We know they were just under a boil warning mandate just a couple of days ago. So they do have a certain zone that is a protected water source, and they're saying, well, this is right in that zone. That's why it's called a protected zone.
And I know the proponents of the project will probably say, hey, yeah, this is true, but we're going to come in, and because there's going to be so much money invested, we're going to improve the infrastructure around.
Which is what they said.
Which is what they said, right? So we're gonna do something about the water. We're going to make sure that it is safe for everybody, and we're going to take care of the pollutants. But so, you can't, you know, I understand being in that area and not fully trusting that.
So Mayor Dan Borgmeyer came up a few times in this conversation, and one, related to what you said about secrecy, non-disclosure agreements, Mayor Borgmeyer, the mayor of the city of St. Charles, he said that the non-disclosure agreement, which went much further than the ones they do all the time. So there's that. The level of secrecy surrounding this one and the non-disclosure agreements went much further. But then there were members of the community who called out Mayor Borgmeyer for another issue.
That the mayor has a relative that's selling the property in question. But
please.
He didn't know that. So maybe we should hang a family tree in his office.
Dude, whoever that lady is.
Yeah. Ouch.
That's what I mean. She came with jokes.
So Mayor Borgmeyer said, he goes, I quote, I think it's a second or third cousin. I have no idea who the people are. I'm related to just about everybody in St. Charles. The Botcherts, the Eccles, and everybody else. I've talked to Steve Ellman. We had lunch yesterday. He said, yeah, we are. I'm even related to Steve Ellman. So it was a political shot.
What? Hold on a second. We need to get to the bottom of that. Now, wait.
How small is St. Charles?
Why is everybody related to everybody out there?
That is actually the buried story here.
I think we should have led with that. Everybody's related?
Yeah. That
if
is...
you're in... If
is
you're in
true?
St. Charles, let us know if you're related to everybody else out there in St. Charles. Are you related to all of your neighbors? How many people on your block are you related to? Let us know.
So I will say this. I definitely don't know all of my second and third cousins because my dad, it was a German Catholic family. So everyone had 1 billion children. He had 1 billion cousins. And I remember going to family reunions and I didn't know like half the people there because there were just so many people. And then, of course, all my dad's first cousins. I don't understand like first cousin twice removed, second cousin once removed. I don't understand that. But I can see how you wouldn't know a second or third cousin.
Sure. And I will tell you this. I will never understand the concept of second, third cousins. I don't know,
removed.
Man. Removed. I don't know. What is removed even?
From what?
Yes. Thank you for asking that question.
What are you removed from?
I don't know.
So that, while it's a really funny little jab to say we need to print out a family tree, I mean, it would be a huge fear of mine with it. Amy, this murderer is related to you, has your same last name, your same weird German last name, Mark Scores. Do you know this guy? And I would say, no, I don't. And then they would say, well, interesting, he was at your family reunion 3 years ago. And I just wouldn't know. There's just too many cousins.
Yeah, I probably have more cousins than I realize, but I still don't know all of them, you know?
How many first cousins do you have?
What is a first cousin? Hold on. That's my...
Your aunts and uncles' kids.
It would be my parents'
siblings.
Nieces and nephews, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or your aunt and uncle, do they have any kids?
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's at least five.
Not very many.
No, I don't know, man. I've got quite a few.
I only say this
more on my dad's side.
And we got to go to break because this has nothing to do with St. Charles. other than, are you all related to each other? 314-436-7900. The only reason I bring this up, because my dad literally had like 60 or 70 first cousins. And on both sides, I have seven. That's not very many. Both sides combined.
Text message says, keep our sex lives in St. Charles out of your mouth.
Maria, we found a new story for you. Forget the county shelter. What's going on in St. Charles?
Mrs. Johnson's right about Mr. Johnson being right. In Blazing Saddles, everybody's named Johnson. Oh, man. All right. Did you see this? Coming up next on KMOX.
Now, did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
Well, I've got sad news.
Oh, crap.
The Bulwer Lytton Fiction Contest.
Right.
Ever heard of it?
Yes.
No, you haven't.
I entered it once. Go ahead.
Well, it makes sense.
And I turned right around because it's not what I thought it was.
It makes sense that you would enter it because what it is, it's to celebrate how terrible the English language can be. What it did is it would look at the worst opening lines to the worst novels ever written and then award a prize. I guess, like, is it the Razzies, which is like the worst movie made that year?
Yeah, that's like the opposite of the Oscars.
That's right. That's right. What this is. So the grand prize for 2024 for the worst opening to a novel is from Lawrence Person of Austin, Texas. He wrote in his book, "She had a body that reached out and slapped my face like a 5-pound ham hock tossed from a speeding truck."
What in the hell?
The runner-up was Joel Phillips. "Mrs. Higgins' body was found in the pantry, bludgeoned with a potato ricer and lying atop a 50-pound sack of Yukon Golds, her favorite for making gnocchi, though some people consider them too moist for this purpose."
I actually love that. I love gnocchi. That's pretty great.
Yeah. So.
So this happens every year, this contest?
Since 1983. And they are...
fun.
Yeah. And they've been doing it since 1983, and here's a special award that was last year, for instance. "It was a sunny day in Los Angeles, hot and bright, and I was in my office playing Mahjong against myself and losing when she walked in, 120 pounds of dynamite, a blonde with legs that began at her ankles and ended in trouble."
I love that, too. These are supposed to be bad? I love all of these.
Yes.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh.
So how long do you think it typically takes? I mean, if you were to think about it, you know how records go gold and they go platinum?
Yeah.
Right? How long do you think that would take typically for a popular song? Don't you think it'd be like, you know, a few months? A year?
Well, Taylor Swift doesn't count, right? Because isn't she immediately...
Yes, like, probably.
I don't know. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah, a year.
Well, you know the LL Cool J song Headsprung?
No.
It goes like this. This is Headsprung. You've heard this.
Nope.
You have not heard this?
Well, remember, I spent a lot of time listening to Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith.
This song came out August 31st of 2004. It has just gone platinum. It took 21 years.
That's awesome.
But it has just gone platinum, which means it has 1 million certified units. So, and here's another thing I did not know. Because with streaming, we don't buy CDs, we don't buy records the way we used to. And that used to count as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
So now what they do is, if an individual song has 1,500 streams,
okay,
that's considered one unit.
Oh, wow. Okay,
so,
that's interesting. That's a good...
Yeah.
I was... You know what? I never thought about how they changed it up for the modern consumption of music.
It used to be really simple. Just how many records did you sell? And now they have to do it a complicated way.
And I will say this. I think... And people can text in if they've found the same thing with the Ute. But the Utes of America, meaning 7th, 8th grade, all the way through high school, I feel like are discovering old school rap. 50 Cent, LL Cool J. They're, I mean, Eminem is old to them, yeah. right? I mean, that's old to them. But what are even some of the ones from the 90s? Name something from the 90s. I'm blanking.
Dre, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Snoop,
Dr.
Nas.
Dre. Yes. Yeah. Well, and Snoop was already pretty big with young kids because he's in pop culture. But I've noticed so many high schoolers are listening to 90s rap.
Mobb Deep.
Never heard of Mobb Deep.
Oh, man. You got to stop it. You need to stop it. So, you know, Polymarket, which is an aggregator of polls, like you know, all kinds of different
obviously.
Stuff. So there's an interactive poll. And this one actually comes from Social Strategies. All right. And Social Strategies is considered a nonpartisan A-rated public opinion poll. They just did 2028 presidential election numbers. And they put J.D. Vance up against three different candidates. He loses to Pete Buttigieg by 4 percentage points, Gavin Newsom by 2 percentage points, and the only person he's beating is Stephen A. Smith. J.D. Vance, but only by 2 percentage points, 37 to 35%.
Wow.
That is as of yesterday.
My mom, not a big Stephen A. Smith fan. I don't think she knows who he is. She just knows that there's someone yelling on the television.
That would be Stephen A.
When my brother was like, when we were younger, my brother would be listening, you know, watching ESPN. Who's that guy that's so mad?
His radio show is entertaining. Let's not do the Stephen A. for president thing.
Yeah.
Let's cut it out with all that. Amy Marks Corps, Chris Ranji. Hour two of three is coming up. We got Blues tickets to give away. Got to be listening for your chance to win. When we come back, the new president of St. Louis University, Dr. Edward Fazer, is next on KMOX.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.